what I want us to do this morning is to see what God's Word has to say about what our friends need to look like, what kind of friends we ought to be, what kind of people we need in our life. And listen, you guys that were in Austin, y'all have already got this lesson, so y'all know all the right answers, but y'all are going to help me out here, okay? But before we start, can I get two volunteers to come up here with me? Anybody want to volunteer? Two volunteers? Okay, I'll go ahead and grab you guys, both of y'all. Y'all come up here. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to start, I don't know if you know everybody, so you're going to stand over here. We're going to pick basketball teams, okay? I want you to pick five people for your basketball team, okay? And y'all are going to take turns. You go first since you're older, okay? Five people for your basketball team. And bring them up here. Go ahead. Okay? So there's the first pick. Okay, go ahead. Matthew, all right? He picks Matthew, all right? All right? Yeah, y'all lobby with him if you want to be on their team. All right. Is that your team? Okay. Who's your next pick? All right. Okay, who's next? This guy right here. Okay. All right, go ahead. Y'all can help him if you want. I mean, they're going to be on your team, too. We're going to go outside and play after this. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. All right, who else you got?
Cody,
all right. Hey, y'all kind of move this way a little bit so we can have a separation between the two teams. Okay, y'all each got one more pick.
Clay.
Okay. Okay, and who's your last pick? All right, Owen. He picks Owen. All right, so everybody, I want y'all looking at these two teams up here. Who do y'all think is going to win this basketball game? Who you got? Who you got?
We got Owen.
We going this? Who's on the? Who votes for these guys?
They have more players.
Oh, come on. So put one of them back. How'd you get too many players? Owen, you're fired. Go back to your chair. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry, man. You were the last pick. I had to send you back. Okay. So who's got this team over here? Okay. Oh, what about this team over here? I mean, they're taller. You got this team? Okay. So for people that voted for this team, why'd y'all think this team's going to win? Is that? Tell me your name.
Leon.
Are you good at basketball? Does everybody know that Leon's good at basketball?
Yes.
Am I the only one that doesn't know that? Okay.
Yes.
So they're going to win because you got Leon. Okay. What about the people that voted for this team? Why y'all vote for this team?
Carter.
Okay. Carter's the secret weapon. All right. Y'all go sit down real quick. Y'all go sit down. Okay, so let me just talk to the team captains here real quick. Y'all can sit down, but y'all tell me about your rationale. Why did you pick the players that you picked? So you go first.
Well, I picked Bodie because he wanted me to.
Okay. Yeah. Right? Say that again.
And we're friends.
And we're friends, okay? So he picked him because he wanted him to, and you're friends. What else? What was the criteria you were using while you're looking at people? Just go ahead and say it, man. He looks like he can play basketball.
No.
He can play basketball. I mean, he's tall.
No. I picked Ben because I knew him and I knew he's good at basketball.
Okay.
Ben told me to pick him.
There you go. There you go. What else? What else? Hey, tell me your other criteria. Okay, you're looking for people who are tall, right? So you understand, like, it's important when you're playing basketball. You need somebody that can get rebounds, things like that. Okay. Was there anything else? Hey, what about you? No other criteria? Okay. What do y'all think? Was that good criteria for picking teams? What do y'all think? Somewhat? Was there any other criteria you think they should have used as they were picking out their teams? What do y'all think?
Maybe ask.
Say again. No other criteria?
Ask people if they're good.
Ask people if they're good. Ask them if they play basketball. Oh, well, that's what he did. He asked, you know anybody in here that plays basketball that's good at basketball, right? Well, it's important, like, when you're picking basketball teams, right, you need somebody that has good skills, right? You need somebody that has a certain build to them. You need somebody that you know, you mentioned you picked somebody because they were your friend. You want somebody on your team. Because when you're playing basketball, you want somebody that's going to let you get involved, that's going to work with you, right? You don't want somebody that's just going to be a ball hog. Now, I want you to notice something. As we were picking out teams, not everybody got picked, right? Anybody get offended because they didn't get picked to play basketball? Yeah? You're offended? Okay. Suck it up, Buttercup. It's going to be okay. Why didn't everybody get picked to play basketball? Huh? Is there a reason? Okay, so there's only a certain number of spots, right? So not everybody can get picked to be on these guys' basketball team, right? They had very specific criteria, and they needed something very specific, right? Okay? Any other reasons people, not everybody got picked? There's a lot of people in here, right? And the reality is, not everybody would be good at basketball. Not everybody would make a good teammate. Not everybody needs to be picked for his team because there's only a certain number of spots. And listen, that doesn't make somebody a better or a worse person. It just means the guy picking needed something very specific, right, to accomplish what he was trying to accomplish. He wanted to win a basketball game, right? And that's why he picked the people that he picked. And so what happens if you don't pick the right people for your team?
You lose,
right? Obviously. Nobody wants to do that. But what else? The game's not going to be as much fun, right? He picked some of his friends because he wanted to have fun with his friends, right? That makes sense. So here's what we're saying. If you don't surround yourself with good players, it's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect your ability. It's going to affect the way you play the game, right? You guys on board with me on that? You want the right kind of people on your basketball team. And you guys know this principle is true with pickup basketball, but it's also true with life. And it's something the Bible wants us to see. The people that you choose to allow into your life have the potential to affect your attitude and your ability in everything that you do. So here's the principle I want to work with today. Grab your Bible. Everybody have a Bible? If you don't know, I don't have any extras. Look on with your neighbor. Proverbs chapter 13. This is the principle I want us to work with today. They told me I can write on these walls. I'm going to try it. Proverbs 13, yeah, it's too late now. 13 verse, don't tell anybody, all right? If y'all tell on me, I'm gonna blame one of y'all. Proverbs 13 and verse number 20. Somebody want to read that for me? Yeah, go ahead, read it. Oh, I thought you were there, man, come on. Say it again. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Okay, I want you to think about what he's saying here. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. What does that mean to you guys? When you hear that, what does that mean? Go ahead.
Your friends influence you.
It matters who your friends are, right? Isn't that the title of this lesson? All right. Mic drop, I'm out. No. It matters who your friends are, right? And there's three things I want you to see from this verse. There's a positive element to it. There's a negative element to it, and then there's this big picture. You notice that first line, he says, whoever walks with wise becomes wise. What he's saying there is you get better if you walk with good people. You guys see that? If you walk with somebody that's wise, they're going to make you even wiser. Why is that?
Iron sharpens iron.
Okay, that's a great principle, right? Iron sharpens iron. You're making each other better. Any other reasons? Yeah.
Well, wisdom is something you pick up from experience. And if they're wise, they're going to be demonstrating that wisdom so you can pick that up.
Yeah, you're right about that. You are absorbing. You're absorbing influence. You're learning from their example. That's such a great point. Anything else? Yeah.
It can motivate you and teach you to be more disciplined.
Yeah, man, motivation. When you're around people who are excelling, doesn't it just make you want to do better? I mean, being around somebody like Kevin Clark the other day, doesn't that just make you want to be energized and excited about your faith? You know, when you have friends like that who are energized and excited about their faith, doesn't that just make you want to be a better person? Isn't that like the value of going to places like camp or being together with other Christians? Like you are with people who want to do right. That's what he's saying. If you want to become wise, you got to walk with the wise. Okay? But he turns that on its head and he looks at it from the negative as well, and he says, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So what he says is the converse is also true. If you spend time with foolish people who make dumb choices, who aren't trying to be wise, who aren't trying to live out their faith, what's going to happen to you? You're going to become just like them. And so do you see that? Really, here's the big picture thing that he wants us to see. The wise man here in Proverbs. You become like the people you spend time with. You know, we've been talking about the word influence, but what he is saying is you actually become like the people you spend time with. Now, you can learn a lot about somebody by the company they keep, right? Like, you can look at somebody, you can look at their friends, and you can kind of tell what kind of person that is. Is that true? And that may not be completely true, but you can usually tell, like, if somebody's popular or not by the people that they're hanging out with. Is that true? Or you can tell what kind of things they're involved with, sports or band or theater, right? You can usually tell those things. You can tell if someone's a troublemaker or not, right? Based on the kind of friends that they spend time with. And these generalizations may not be completely true, but based on what this verse teaches, we need to understand that we're not just influenced by the people that we're around. We're actually going to become like those people. In fact, there's a guy in the business world. He's a business guru named Jim Rohn, and he's wrote a lot of books. He's got a podcast, and he makes this statement that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Now, do you guys understand what that means? You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So what he's saying is, here is you, and I'm going to draw a little stick, people, and you've got five friends that you're really close to. Okay? And these are the people that are in your inner circle that you play sports with, you go to church with. You're spending your time with these people. And he is saying that the people that are closest to you, you spend the most time with, they are actually going to become, that's who you are going to become. You're going to take on their attitudes, their actions, their thoughts. I mean, you've seen this happen, right? When you spend time with somebody, maybe you start saying the same kind of phrases that they say, or you start talking about the same kind of things that they talk about, or things that y'all are both interested in. You use the same hand gestures. You go to the same places. You become like these people. Have you seen that happen in your life or in the lives of other people? Maybe you had a friend that started, you know, dating some girl, and he starts acting different because he's around that girl. Have you noticed that? Have you seen that happen before? Don't be that guy, by the way. Don't be that guy. We don't like friends like that. But let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer. I just want you to think about this. When you think about the people you spend the most time with, what kind of person are you becoming? Think about that. Because this tells a lot about who you're becoming. And this proverb is true. If you walk with the wise, you're going to become wise. Spend time with foolish people, you're going to become like them. It is inevitable. Now, here's the thing, and I get it. We can't always control the kind of people we're around, right? Whether it's at school, sports, things like that. We can't always control the people that are around us. But this verse emphasizes that relationships are a choice, right? They're a choice. You get to choose the kind of people you want to invest yourself in. In order to become wise, you have to consider, what does a wise person look like, and how do I get around that person? How do I walk with them? And that's what I want us to take away from this lesson. We all have the choice in our life who we let become our people. You have a choice about who your friends are and who you choose to spend the most time with. And I would argue this is probably one of the most important choices that you will make in your life. So I can tell you there are people that I met when I was younger than even you guys were that are still in my life that have influenced and impacted me and changed me in positive ways because I chose for them to be there. And the choices you're making now, it's going to impact your life and where you're going. It matters who your friends are. And so to illustrate this point, I want to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. I want to read a story about a man named Rehoboam. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Old Testament, front of your Bible. You guys know where Chronicles is? Y'all are all good Bible students, right? I don't have to tell you where Chronicles is. Yep, most of y'all use phones today anyways, right? No? Hard Bibles? Good. All right. Cool. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. So here's what's going on. You guys know the kind of the context of Old Testament history. You had Saul, David, and Solomon, right? The first three kings of Israel. And Solomon, wisest man to ever live, right? He was a very prosperous king. In fact, Israel under Solomon did better than it had ever done in all of history. People came from all over to see Solomon because he was so wise. They paid him money just to look at him. I mean, crazy stuff. And the people that lived in his kingdom, they were happy. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse number 7, the Queen of Sheba comes and she's looking at his kingdom and she just says, man, your wives are happy, your servants are happy, people who stand in your presence are happy. This is just a great place to be. So when Solomon was king, everything was good. All right, I want y'all to see that. The kingdom was at peace, but then Solomon dies. Right, so the end of chapter 9, Solomon dies, and his son's name is Rehoboam. And so Rehoboam was supposed to be the next king, and everything was prepared for him to step up and to rule his father's kingdom well. And I want you to read this story with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 10, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, then Jeroboam's a different guy, Jeroboam returned from Egypt, and they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all Israel came and said to Rehoboam, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. And he said to them, come to me again in 3 days. So the people went away. So here's the people. They realize he is about to be king. And they say, look, we had some issues with your dad, and we want you to change those things. All right. If you'll change these things, we'll do anything you want us to do. But just listen to us. And so he says, all right, go. Let me think about this a little bit. So he's got a really important decision to make, because if he makes a bad choice here, what do you think is going to happen? Rebel, right? There is a very strong possibility that if he makes a bad choice here, the people are not only going to reject him, they're going to rebel against him. They might even kill him, because that's how things work back in these times. So he has a very important decision in front of him. So look at what he does in verse number 6. Then Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, how do you advise me to answer this people? And they said to him, if you would be good to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. So here's Rehoboam's got an important decision to make. Who does he go looking for? Wise old men, right? And not just wise old men. Men who had served his father, who knew what was going on. They probably knew the people. They knew the dynamics. He sought out some people that could help him. Now, this was a wise choice, wasn't it? He is choosing to walk with the wise. And they gave him some really good advice. But notice what happened after this. Verse number 8. But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, what do you advise that we should answer this people? And who have said to me, lighten the yoke that your father put on us. And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, thus you shall speak to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus shall you say to those people, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. I hit the pause button here. What did his friends tell him to do? Yeah. Don't go easy on these people. Show them who's boss. You're the king now. You don't need to listen to these old fogies who served your dad. This is a new regime. This is a new time. We are in charge. We're going to do things different. We're going to show people who we are. Now, you think this was good advice? Why not? Say it again. That's not what the people wanted. That's not what the people wanted. And it wasn't motivated to make things better. It was motivated by some sort of selfish pride, seems like to me. His friends came in here and they said, our buddy that we grew up with, man, he's king now, and this is a chance for us to assert ourselves, to show who we really are. Let's do this. And so He chooses to listen to them. Now, why in the world? So here's your two options. You've got a group of older guys who have been in the kingdom, who know how things ought to be going, who give him this advice. And on the other hand, he's got his friends who probably don't know much about ruling a kingdom, but they've grown up with him and they've given him this advice. You got these two groups. Why did he choose one over the other? Why did he choose to listen to his friends?
Because he liked what he heard.
He liked what he heard. He did. He liked what he heard. He wanted to do what they said. Why do you think that was? Sure. Yeah, his relationship with them trumped what he probably should have seen very clearly. And I think the Bible makes it a point to say, Rehoboam, these weren't just friends. He had grown up with these people. They had similar worldviews and context for life. These were people that he had done life with. And so he probably aligned with them on a lot of things. What else? He wanted to make them happy. Yeah, that's right. And it felt good to do those, to make those choices, right? Because his friends were more important to him than the country, than the nation, than the prosperity of other people. You see that? It's becoming very selfish in the way that he's making his choices. Now, does his choice make sense to you guys? Like, if you were walking in his shoes, would you make the same choice that he did? I don't know if that's a fair question to ask. We don't really know, right? I would hope that we wouldn't make those kinds of choices. But does his choice make sense? Why he picked the people that he chose to listen to? I don't know. I'm asking that because I tell you, as I read this, you know, I like to listen to what my friends have to say. I value what my friends have to say. I care about what they think. You know, I want to be in alignment with them. And like our friend over here said, it often is what I want to hear. You know, it's what he wanted to hear. These were people that he'd grown up with. And, you know, he saw things the same way. And the opinion of the older people, it just didn't really make sense to him. You ever been in that situation where maybe you've gotten some advice from somebody that's older than you and it just doesn't make sense? Maybe it feels a little stuffy. Like, what are you telling me this for? Older people's opinions seem kind of stuffy sometimes, right? Like they're out of touch, they're kind of grumpy. Anybody else? No? Am I the only one that feels that way about old people? Okay, fair enough. Why should we listen to people that are older than us? Why should we listen to their counsel?
They've been through more life.
Okay, life experience. That's huge, for sure. What else? They have our best interest in mind? You know, you ever thought about that? Your parents, they care about seeing you be successful. They care about you avoiding some of the things that they went through. I mean, that's what these older men wanted, right? They wanted him to make a choice so that the people would follow him. They had his best interest in mind and they cared about his success. And look, I'm not saying older people have to be our friends. Okay, please don't hear me say that. But they can be, but I'm not saying they're the only people that have to be our friends. I am saying that we need to be smart enough to realize that people our own age aren't much smarter than we are. And we need balanced opinions in our life. Think about how Rehoboam handled this situation. He had people who cared about his success, cared about the kingdom, and were wanting to help him. But instead of listening to them, he listened to his friends. And all his friends wanted to do was they wanted to do things differently. They wanted to assert their power. They wanted to stick it to the old way of doing things. We don't know exactly what they wanted. But Rehoboam clearly valued their opinions, right? He valued what they had to say because of his relationship with these young men. And it prevailed over those who had more experience. That's the power of influence. That's the power of friends. That's why it matters who your friends are. Because he had this huge choice to make. He made a bad choice because of the influence of his friends. You guys know what happened after this? Any of you guys read ahead? Let's read this. Verse number 16. And when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, "What portion have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Each of you to your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, David. So all Israel went to their tents. So Rehoboam ruled over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. So a very small group of people stayed with him, but most of the people, 10 of the tribes, they fractured, they left, and they followed someone else. And Rehoboam quickly mounted his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. You see, his choice to listen to his friends immediately created this fracture in the kingdom that he couldn't fix. Now, if you think he could go back and make that choice again, do you think he would make the same dumb choice that he made? Probably not. We don't know. But why didn't he make that choice to begin with? It's because his friends were more important to him than doing what was right. Their influence clouded their judgment. And that tends to be how relationships work in our lives. We value the opinions of those we spend time with and trust so much that it can cloud our vision. It can distort our reality of what is actually true. Now listen, you might not think the influence of others greatly affects your life and your choices, but the Bible teaches us this. The world teaches us this. We need to listen. Paul would say bad company corrupts good morals. That is true. And just like the wise man in Proverbs 13 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. So let me ask you this. What kind of people do you guys like to be around? Just generally speaking, what kind of people do you like to be around?
Family.
Okay, you like to be around family? People that you're comfortable with?
People who make you laugh.
Okay, people who make you laugh? Okay. What else?
People who are like-minded.
Yeah. Yeah, people who talk like you, act like you, think like you. That's so important. What about people who have common interests? You like to be around people who like to play the same sports as you? Do the same activities as you? People who agree with you? Yeah.
People who can take a joke?
People who can take a joke? Yeah, for sure. Is it wrong to want to be around these kinds of people? No. Absolutely not. But let me ask you this. Should these be the only requirements we have for being friends with other people? No. You guys know that. The more important question is, are these the kind of people that God wants us to be around? And so that's what we're going to do. We've got about 10 more minutes left in class. Here's what I want to do. Here, help me pass these out. We got these worksheets. I want you to, we're not going to work through all these verses. Can you help me with that? Can you pass these around or pass them down? And I didn't bring any pens and pencils. Here's what we're going to do. On these worksheets, there's some verses. And I want you to work through just a couple of them. We'll just do number 1 and 2 because we have a lot less time than I thought we did. And I want you to answer the two questions there at the top. What kind of friends should we look for? And what kind of friends should we avoid? And we'll do this. We'll just, since we're short on time, we'll just do this individually. Read through those verses, Proverbs 17:17, Galatians 6:2, and number 2, Proverbs 22 and Titus 3:10. And I'll give you about 5-6 minutes to read through those, and then we'll discuss that, okay? Everybody get a worksheet? Is it still making its rounds? Here we go. Again, a chunk of those, pass those down. All right. Everybody got a worksheet? And if you don't have a pencil or a pen, you can just kind of work through it in your mind. Everybody get a worksheet? Okay. Y'all got enough back here? Okay. My door's locked. I'm not going to do that. Oh, thank you. All right, you guys finished the first couple ones, or are y'all still working on them? First couple? Yeah? Well, we'll talk about the first two, and if we have time, we'll go knock out a couple more of these. So Proverbs, that question number one, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens. So you got two questions up there. What kind of friends should we be looking for? What do these verses tell us about that? What kind of people do we need to be looking for?
Someone you love.
Say it again.
Someone you love.
Someone you love. What do you mean by that?
Either a brotherly love or you want to
Yeah. Okay. All right, that's fair. A friend loves at all times. That's fair. You know, you think about the example of in 1 Samuel, David and Jonathan. Those were people. They were knit together at the heart, the Bible tells us, because they cared about each other's needs, and you know, they looked out for each other. So for sure. What else? What kind of friends should we be looking for here? What does the Bible tell us? Yeah. Yeah, somebody that's loyal, right? A friend loves at all times, right? All times. Why is that important?
Because the people you're closest to, you don't want them to leave you during hard times.
Yeah, for sure.
You go by yourself to deal with the problems.
Listen, we all have problems. We all have things that we go through. We all have challenges in life. And if the people that are closest to you aren't there for you during those tough times, what's the point? You know, I know some of y'all mentioned we like to have people around us that make us laugh and they're fun and they can take a joke. Those things are important. But when you really need a friend is when things are hard, right? And you need to make sure you're looking for people that aren't just fair weather friends. You know what I'm talking about? You probably heard of fair weather fans, right? They talk about that in sports. Fair weather fans are the ones that jump on the bandwagons when a team's doing good. They're cheering for them. They're wearing the shirts. You know, they're at all the games. But when those seasons are tough, when you're the Cleveland Browns, right? Nobody shows up. Fair weather fans, right? We don't need fair weather friends. We need friends who are there with us when things get difficult. So let me ask you this. What does that look like? What does a friend like that look like?
Usually you can tell when someone's down, so it would be a person who goes and talks to the person.
Sure. Sure. You need friends that are willing, that aren't going to run, because, you know, let's be honest, when somebody's down, especially for us guys, when somebody's down, it's kind of awkward to come talk to somebody about that, isn't it? It's kind of awkward to say, hey man, you know, what's going on with you? We don't want to talk about our feelings, right? That's kind of a guy thing. I don't know about you guys. That tends to be something that, it's hard. It's hard, right? And we don't always come and want to engage in those kinds of things. But like you said, we need those people in our life that can tell, you know, hey man, you're not doing great. What's wrong? Talk to me. Can I help you? Can I pray for you? What is it that I can do for you? A friend loves at all times. And what does he say? And a brother is born for adversity. See, those are the times we need friends. And God is telling us we need to invest and involve those people in our lives, because the reality is tough seasons are going to come. And you need people who will walk through that season with you to encourage you, to help you. Anything else you guys see in this? What kind of friends should we look for? All right. Let's do the next one. Number 2, Proverbs 22, verse 24 through 25 says, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare." And Titus 3 verse 10 says, "As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing to do with him." So these verses say about friends, kind of friends that we should avoid? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you want to kind of avoid people who are like tend to get very angry or wrathful, sure, like very often, or they're very quick to it, because that can also rub off on you.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be that friend.
Yeah, for sure. You're tapping into this idea of influence again. The kind of people that we're around. I mean, if you're around somebody that's hot-tempered, and I'm not just talking about somebody gets mad, because we all get mad, right? We all have moments that we get angry. We have moments we get real hot about something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that is just, this is a way of life for them. It's consistent. It's who they are, right? Those kinds of people are going to affect you very negatively. What do angry people do? What do they do to relationships? They break relationships. They are divisive. They create strife between people. Let me ask you this. How can somebody be divisive? What does that look like? Divisive? Dividing people? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, gossip. Yeah, somebody that maybe talks behind other people's back. You know, anger is not always expressed just in violence, right? It can be expressed in words, in very negative words about somebody. Yeah.
Usually when you're angry, you tend to blame other people, and you're not always right. So
that's right.
Like tearing apart relationships because you
Yeah. Anger is a powerful emotion that God gave to us. You know, it's not wrong to be angry. God gave us anger as a motivator. You know, you think about Jesus in the temple. He was angry that God was being disrespected, and it moved him to action. That's how God designed anger. So there's nothing wrong with anger, but if you're prone to it and you allow yourself to give in to that, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, the Bible tells us. We need to avoid people who their way of life is hot and angry. Did I see another hand over here? Do you have your hand up? Yeah.
Arguing often about the opinion that really isn't yours.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, these kinds of people, the Bible tells us, you allow these kind of people in your life, and it's going to turn out really negatively for you. I want to look at this last verse together with you, and then we'll be done here. Proverbs 24, verses 21 through 22. This is a very important one to me, especially in the world that we live in today. Proverbs 24, verse 21 and 22. The wise man says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise. For disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from both." So what does he say about the kind of people we need to be around in this verse? People who fear the Lord. People who fear the Lord. And what else? There's one other thing. People who respect authority. You see that? He says, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise. This is really important because right now, in our time, it's really popular to criticize authority. It's really popular to reject authority. I mean, I'm sure you guys have been at school and you've seen those people that don't respect authority, right? Those kids that don't respect the teachers. They don't listen to what they have to say. They don't care. There's always those kids that talk back. That shouldn't be us. If we fear the Lord, we fear authority, or we respect authority. But there's always people that do those kinds of things. And what happens to those kids? What happens to those kids that talk back to the teachers, that talk back to the principals? In school suspension, they get in trouble, don't they? Those are the kids that are always in trouble. Do those kind of people seem happy? Those people aren't. They don't seem happy, right? Why does God care if your friends respect authority? Well, I'll tell you why. Respecting authority is fundamental to both life and to faith. If we don't respect the authorities in our life, we're really disrespecting God. Because Romans 13 tells us, all authority is given from God and we should respect all authorities. When you're looking at your friends, you need to have friends that respect authority. Listen guys, it matters who your friends are. I believe that. And you should too. Thank you guys for discussion this morning.